Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Oh, we've got a truly special show in store for you today. I know I always say that, and that you are all special, but today is an extra, 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 extra special show, and you will find out shortly why that is so. Because we have a very, very special guest in studio with us today. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. It's quite the paradox, but the more one pushes themselves into areas of discomfort, gently, just a bit, from time to time, the more comfortable they become. And vice versa. Thunk it, hoot of, the universe. we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Kind of being playful with us as the universe usually is. Reminding us that it takes just baby steps for us to move in those directions where at first they're not very comfortable. At first they're not really all that great, but slowly but surely, we become more comfortable with them and we become more accustomed to them. And suddenly, our comfort zone has expanded. You know, they always say that everything we want that we don't have exists outside our comfort zone. Well, I'm a big believer. I know some people feel differently, but I'm a big believer in baby steps. I'm a big believer, like, yeah, things are outside our comfort zone, but that doesn't mean we gotta like jump head first into the deep end of the pool when it's freezing cold water and go nuts about it. That sometimes dipping our little toe in and getting used to it, and then the foot, and then the ankle, and then the calf, and doing it a little step at a time, sometimes that works better. It may take a little bit longer, but I always kind of feel, even though things take longer, that then the foundation is much more solid and it lasts much longer. So, a nice little quote from the universe. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. We would begin saying, quote, I'm not ever going to get it done. I'm an eternally expanding being, and I'm doing great where I am, and I'm so eager about what's coming, end quote. That's the essence of the vibration that keeps adventurous things coming, keeps you feeling always excited, stable, and secure, keeps you feeling in love with life. All day, every day, count your blessings. All day, every day, make your lists of things you appreciate. And as you keep activating what is working in your life, then more pleasing things on all subjects will flow to you. Abraham. So a nice little quote from Abraham, reminding us that we are always eternally expanding. And that, you know, it's sort of the more we focus on those things we appreciate, the more we focus on the fact that we're eager about what life is going to bring us, the more interesting, the more fun, the more exciting we can be about life and about what's coming to us. And, you know, Abraham kind of throws in here, and this is something Abraham talks a lot about, is making lists of things you appreciate. And it's a great way of kind of activating and focusing on those things that make us feel good, those things that really excite us, those things that lifts our spirits and lifts our frequency, lifts our vibration. Because when we're feeling good, when we're feeling excited, when we're feeling happy and joyful, that then we allow so much more into our life. Now, look, this does not mean that if you're depressed, if you're upset, that you shouldn't feel your feelings. But what it means is that when we're in that sort of deeper, darker place, that we're not necessarily bringing to us the things that we really want. And as we lean in the direction, as we remind ourselves of the things that we're grateful for, that we're thankful for, that we're so happy are in our lives and we so appreciate that are in our lives, that then we are able to allow more of those kinds of things. You know, there's that old expression, where attention goes, energy flows. And where our energy flows, that's what expands in our life. So look, we're not ever going to get it fully done. You know, we're never through. As long as we're breathing, there's more of life to live and enjoy and learn from and appreciate. So let's keep focusing on those things that we do appreciate, that we do allow into our lives, that bring us so much joy and so much pleasure. So two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham. And again, you know, I keep saying this every week because I really think like people don't quite believe me. These are really the quotes from today that came to my inbox today. And they're very, very apropos for what today's show is all about. And so before I introduce my guest, a quick shout out on the Facebook live stream to Patrice and to Brad. Thank you guys for tuning in and watching and being part of the show. Remember, as you're listening, if you want to join in on the Facebook live stream, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingalternative. Or is it actually, I think I changed it. I think now it's /talkradioNYC. And you can see the video. Feel free to put your comments in. Or if anybody wishes to call in, of course, the hotline is 877-480-4120. A little quick announcement before we actually get into our conversation. I just want to remind people who are interested. The Conscious Business Collective, you've heard me talk about it before. Our first meeting of 2017 is tonight at 7 o'clock. I hope you will join us. We've got a wonderful show, meeting to kick off the new year, about a couple of processes for archiving our old year and setting intentions for the new year. And we do it a slightly different way than maybe you've done it in the past. So even if you've already done this kind of thing, it's still worth it to come on out and meet the group. We've got a wonderful, wonderful cross-section of business people and entrepreneurs and people who take consciousness and spirituality very seriously. So I hope you will join us. So now it is my pleasure to introduce to you the man, the myth, the legend, that voice you hear when you listen to our commercials about listening to the Talking Alternative Broadcasting, who has that wonderful Australian accent, and to person to whom I am eternally grateful to, because he is the founder of Talking Alternative, Bonte Giorgio, who has left the world of regular society and has joined the monkhood. He is a Theravadan monk, who now spends most of his time in meditation in forest monasteries throughout Southeast Asia and happens to be here in New York City for a visit. So, of course, it is my pleasure to have him on the show. Welcome, Bonte.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So many of my listeners have heard me mention you in the past. And we had a wonderful meeting of the different hosts here on at the radio station. It gave you a chance to kind of talk about why you started the station. And, you know, a lot has happened and a lot has changed over the 6.5 years since you've left. And now you're back in New York. And I know you're not out and about too much, but I'm curious, like, how does it feel to, like, be back in your old office, in your old city, you know, where you spent a good amount of time building up your business and your life before kind of leaving it all behind?
Yeah, it's oh gosh, you got me tongue twisted. It's kind of like it's not really a big deal anymore. You know, it's unusually strange. I actually feel quite at peace with it. What makes me happy more than anything is seeing that you've done, you know, good things with what I've done, and you've built upon it and improved it in many ways, and to see that all that work actually went to something even better. That makes me, you know, that gives me a really good, you know, happy, joyful kind of feeling inside my heart, in little warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I don't feel strange at all. I actually feel, which I wasn't expecting, I actually feel more connected. It's unusual. I don't feel strange. I actually feel very calm and at peace, and I'm loving New York like I always do. And I think New York just has that kind of like thing. I can't explain it.
that energy?
Yeah, I don't know if it's energy or it's just that kind of place, you know. Like, you know, I've traveled sort of everywhere and been in alone for long periods of time, etc. But New York always has this presence about it. And, you know, I've always liked that for some reason. I guess that's what pulls me back, you know, from time to time, you know. Hard to explain, you know. But, yeah, that's why I'm tongue-twisted. There's so many... I got so many answers, but not enough time to answer it.
No worries, no worries. Well, we got you for the full hour, so hopefully we'll
it's never a full hour, you know that.
Shh, don't tell my secret, please, all right? So, Giorgio Ponte, so for my audience who's not as familiar, so Theravadin is a, I don't know, you call it a branch of Buddhism?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these kind of conversations, you know, what kind of Buddhist are you and all this kind of stuff. You know, the word for a monk is bhikkhu, right?
Bhikkhu, okay.
And a nun is a bhikkhuni. And a bhikkhu means, bhikkhu basically is a Pali word, Indian Pali word, which basically means alms mendicant, someone who lives off alms.
Okay.
So a Buddhist doesn't really exist. That's more of a later term that's come through the English equivalent of Indian terms and Southeast Asian terms, right? So Buddhist is more of a, like an American thing, an English kind of connotation of, you know, putting an adverb on a noun, you know, like Buddha, Buddhism. And Buddha itself means awake. And ism, and the ism is, you know, I don't know how you make sense out of that, but it just doesn't make sense, right? So
it's just,
that's
you know,
why I don't like to call
people love to categorize and associate, put labels on things so that they know how to deal with it.
Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, habitual stuff. But Theravada is basically a style of Buddhism that's in Thailand, Sri Lanka, and Burma. It's just evolved there. And
Malaysia too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Malaysia's got kind of both.
Okay.
Malaysia's kind of got actually a big mixture, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But it's, you know, the main Buddhism of Sri Lanka, Thailand, and Burma is Theravadin. The Mahayana kind of spread wide in China, Japan, Korea, you know, and they're just different thinking they've just got different rules, basically. That's all.
Right.
But
the
aim is generally the same.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to just ask you some questions just about, you know, what it's like to be a Theravadan monk, like what, when you're, you know, what a typical day is like, and kind of the practice and what it is that you spend most of your time doing, because obviously you're chaste, you don't have money, you know, you're not living the way the majority of people on the planet live.
Well, maybe we can explain the difference between chaste and celibacy.
Ah,
not
okay.
Many people know that difference.
Chaste and celibacy, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Bonte Giorgio, and we will be right back. Mm.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Theravadan monk Bonte Giorgio. So Bonte, you're here in New York visiting. You've been in Australia, Thailand, Malaysia for the last 6.5 years. What, I mean, I don't know if there's really a typical day or not, but I know recently you were on a retreat that lasted about 2 years in the forests of Thailand.
I got lost in the forest.
Lost in the forest. So what is like your daily life like?
Well, yeah, it varies. But for the sake of trying to give your listeners some kind of idea. Look, you know, it's like however you want to live it, really. You're responsible for your own happiness. You're responsible for cultivating your own heart and bringing joy into your own life. And you're responsible for expanding your mind and opening up your own heart. You're responsible for that. So the monk life gives you the opportunity to focus on that, to totally focus on that. So you're constantly in 100% attentiveness, being focused within in your heart, in your mind. You're trying to expand yourself and also understand Dhamma. You're trying to understand nature. You're trying to understand your true nature. Now, how you do that? Well, yeah, not so easy. There's many ways to do it. Some monks like to live and some nuns like to live in communities where there's a lot of structure, a lot of schedule, in morning and evening chanting, these kind of things. Some monks like to go it alone. They like to just go for their arms around in the morning and then take off to the cave and talk to no one. And some monks do it for 10 years, 20 years.
Wow.
It's very common.
Right.
It's not uncommon, and it's very common, actually.
Right.
You know, some monks don't lie down for 10 years, 20 years. They sit in posture the whole night. I mean, Lokanatha, you know, my one of the monks I adore, one of my kind of like hero monks, he didn't lie down for 36 years.
36 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He went when he ordained. He's actually a Brooklyn guy, right?
He's from Brooklyn?
Yeah. That's why
I love him. Of course, it'd take a Brooklyn guy not to lie down for 36 years.
And worst of all, he came from near Naples, you know.
Oh.
And my father said, oh, only a Napolitano can do that. My dad's Tuscan, you know. So basically what happened was, the way it works is kind of like when you get out on the the spiritual path, if you want to call it spiritual, or if you're trying to go towards the Buddha's goal of Nibbana or Nirvana in Sanskrit, Nipan in Pali, right? You are responsible for that. You got to do the work. And if you're lucky, you know, you'll get a good teacher who can guide you. And it's tough work. It's really facing yourself and getting to know yourself. So how you do that, there's many expressions of that. You know, there's many types of Buddhism, as we said before.
Right.
There's many practices in the world, many religions that kind of try to do that somehow. They're trying to find an expression to that. But at some point, you got to shut all the doors and go inward at some point. To say that you don't do that, you can't, you know, that you don't need to do that, I don't agree with that because I tried that for a long time. And sometimes you got to, it doesn't mean you have... There are periods where you need to shut the door on yourself and have a look at things, even in life. You know, we need sometimes you need to revise things just naturally. Sometimes you're working or you got family relationships or these kind of things in a normal way. Sometimes you just got to shut the door for 2 or 3 days, go out alone on your own and just think things over. I think it's totally normal, right? I think it's a normal process.
Right. So just curious. So in general, and I know days are different, but in general, how much time during the day do you spend in meditation?
Well, as much as possible.
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
So give me a range.
Well,
is it like an hour to like 10 hours?
Depends if
like
you eat or not. So like if you're fasting. You know, if you're fasting for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, there's
have
those
have you done
practices.
That? Have you fasted for that long?
I fasted for 20.
You fasted for 20 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I sat all day, all night.
That was all day and all night?
Yeah, that's in January last year. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool experience.
Yeah, you're the only one I know who would say like fasting for 20 days is a cool experience.
Well, it is. You learn a lot.
I'm sure you do.
You know, it's all about learning, isn't it? It's not about fun. It's about learning, pushing yourself, expanding yourself in directions you wouldn't normally go, and seeing what happens, and then observing that experience, and just knowing for yourself. You know, just knowing.
Yeah, so getting outside that comfort zone, huh?
Well, you know, comfort zone, when you're surviving, when you're out in the woods, for example, there is no comfort zone because your senses are highly activated,
right?
You go into caveman mode, so to speak.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of wild animals around. There's a lot of bugs around. There's a lot of insects. There's snakes. There's wild, you know, depending on which part of which forest you go to. You know, if you go where the wild tigers and elephants are, you hear the tigers and you'll hear the elephants going, you know, and bears and monkeys. Yeah.
Did you
I spent
that?
That was on the west border of Thailand, on the border between Thailand and Burma. Actually, a monk got killed by a tiger there about a year and a half ago, close to where I was staying.
Oh,
that's deep jungle there. That's virgin jungle. So you can go up in these areas. And you just stay alone. And when you're in that zone at night, there is no comfort zone. You just don't have one.
Wow.
You just fully have to open up. You have to totally wake up, switch open, right? And you're on total, you know, surveillance mode kind of situation, right?
And so what did you learn from that? What did you learn from being in that
experience? Well, I learned we're much more than what we think we are.
In what way?
Well, if you sit in an office like this, like I did for 18 years, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, there's not much danger really, unless kind of some person comes in off the street and threatens you or whatever. But generally, you're quite safe. You get on your computer. But out in the woods, it ain't like that.
Right.
You know, you got to watch out. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of animals.
Right.
And insects, I mean, the amount of insects that are in the jungle, in the forest, it's incredible. I mean, wasps, bees, centipedes.
Have you got bitten and stung many times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Oh, definitely.
There's no, like, monk bug spray?
No, it's called just yelling and screaming. And
oh, Jesus.
I mean, monks get bitten by snakes all the time.
By snakes,
yeah? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, God.
So you got to be careful. Monks have gotten killed. Yeah, it's not a joke. It's serious.
Yeah, that is serious.
When you go out into the jungle or the forest, you are facing that reality.
Why would someone voluntarily put themselves in that much danger?
You got to try it, and then you'll understand. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
It probably is.
It's hard to explain because, you know, how can I explain it to you? See, in a forest, when you're in a cage, like an office, I call it the cage. Okay. I call it my cage.
Right.
You know, you're protected by the bars. Now, you take the bars away, something amazing happens. You know, something that you've never experienced that is hard to put in words, but it's basically you're in a situation where it's totally open. There's no protection anywhere, and you just have to rely on your heart. You have to rely on what's here, on your nature to protect you. Right? And that's why the Buddha talks about always having goodwill, compassion, appreciation, joy, and equanimity. But the goodwill is a very important thing, where because wild animals can detect if you're a threat or not. For example, you know, cobras, you know, king cobra snakes, you know, they can detect whether you're poisonous like them or not, and they'll attack.
Okay,
you know, a tiger will sense an elephant. You know, many monks have confronted bull elephants. You know, in the forest, you know, in the past, and had to deal with a bull elephant right there in front of you, and a bull elephant can crush you very quickly.
Yes.
And if a bull elephant feels threatened, or if it feels that, or she, and the female one, if they, I don't know, what are they called? Bulls and bullesses? I don't know what you call it.
Bull and calves, probably.
I don't know. What do you call a female? I've never thought of that, actually.
Okay.
So we're not going to go there.
No. So then let me ask you. So then what's the difference between the monks who are there and they have those experiences and they're not bitten and they're not run over by the bull elephant and the ones who are, like you said, like a monk just got killed last year by a tiger. So what was the difference between that monk and the monk who didn't?
Hard to say. There's karma. There's karma vipaka. There's you know, when it's your time, it's your time. There's that argument. There's the argument that, you know, whatever happens to you is not a coincidence, which is, again, karma. You know, usually it's that reason is the main one.
Okay.
But it's also, you know, maybe you did something silly. Maybe he turned his back on the tiger. Maybe he lost his nerve. You know, maybe the tiger sensed fear. You know, maybe he tried to run. You know, there's things you don't do in those situations. You got to know, you got to know, right? So when you're in those situations, there's a certain amount of nature that comes out of you that wakes up. It's quite brilliant, actually. It's you switch on and you feel parts of yourself you've never felt before. You see what I mean? Because in an office, you're kind of like, oh, everything's fine. I can just sleep now. I'll have my coffee and work on the computer. And you know what I mean?
Right.
You kind of get into this lull, right? But when you're out there, you can't get into that. You're forced to stay awake all day, all night, and you're constantly on guard, and that brings a certain level of awareness out of you, right? And then when you try to meditate in that situation where you're trying to come to the center and come to a sense of tranquility, it has a profound effect because the mind is activated in a different way. And the energy of the body and the mind is activated in a different way. You feel so alive. It's so different. It's really different, you know. And that's why a lot of monks get addicted to it. You know, they just can't wait to get out again. They just, you know, because sometimes we jump in and out, you know, we have to go back to our community. We have mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. They get sick. People die. A lot of monks have got children, so they like to go see their children from time to time.
These kind of things,
these normal things that we all have. And then there's times where, but after a month or so, most forest monks are getting itchy like I am right now. It's like, oh, man. You know, I got to get back, you know, because there's a certain brilliance, especially at night when the moon's up and it's coming through the canopy of the trees and everything's lit up. It has it's magical in a lot of ways. When you're meditating, like if you've done a 12-hour hit or a 15-hour hit straight and you've gone, you know, with at dawn, you start before dawn and then you go all the way till sunrise and you see the sun coming up. it's quite an amazing thing. And you just put your robes on and then you go for walking for your food, you come back, you eat. It's quite an amazing experience. It's an amazing lifestyle, you know. And so you're not worried about money, you're not perturbed about things. And yeah, it just, I'll explain more of it later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so before we go to break, just a quick shout out to Brigitte, who's listening to us and watching us on the Facebook live stream. Again, anybody watching, oh, and Todd just joined us on the Facebook live stream. If anybody has any questions for either myself or Bante Giorgio about anything, life in general, ooh, lots of hearts there, thanks, Ta. Please comment on the Facebook live stream or call us on our hotline, 877-480-4120. We'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Ah, my dear friend Kafunya, also watching us on the Facebook live stream. I love it. Thank you, Ta, for all the hearts. Much love to you, too. So we're talking with Bante Giorgio, a Theravadan monk. And so we were just talking kind of about, you know, the life of a monk, of like going into the forest and meditating for 12 hours and living in the jungle, so to speak, without the protection of civilization and stuff. Over the years that you've been doing this, the last 6.5 years, I imagined, ooh, lots of hearts from Kafunya. Wow, lots of hearts.
Are we getting a lot of hearts, Sam?
We're getting
a
lot
of hearts.
Is that
what you're saying?
What have you learned about yourself in the last 6.5 years?
I've learned a lot, and I've learned the main thing that I've learned is that I was a lot more than what I thought I was. And I wasn't what I thought I was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's what I learned. You know, there's a lot of things you learn when you live on your own and you're really pushing yourself to try to understand a lot of things. And, and there's a lot of things that you debunk about yourself, about this so-called, being independent. Not having to rely on people, that's a myth. I found out that that's not true at all. We're totally dependent on everything. We're dependent on air. We're dependent on water.
Yeah, absolutely.
We always depend, you know, even in business, if someone's not paying for your service or product, you don't eat. Or if you're an employee, someone's got to pay you and someone's got to buy the product or service from the employer. Everything that we have is built by somebody else. That's what I've seen that in a big way. So that kind of, I had a lot of humility, brought me a lot of humility, and started to appreciate humanity and appreciate the elements a lot more, in earth and what it gives us. So that, yeah, that has had a deep, profound effect on me, because I was a type A kind of business guy and, you know, always thrashing out and trying to achieve. But that kind of all got thrown in the rubbish bin. So that's the second thing I learned. I guess the best thing I've learned, to try to, you know, summarize, you know, is that a lot can happen when you put your mind to it, but when you're focused on trying to understand yourself, understand nature, there are a lot of things that come through experience that cannot be translated. And that's the third one that I learned a lot. Experience cannot be translated. That's actually my quote. Experience cannot be translated. And that's why I put down, I used to see all these books up here. The majority of them were mine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read all of, most of them. And I've got books at home and I've got books. I used to be a study fanatic and I used to read a lot and I used to study a lot. And that was a big lesson for me, going into the forest, is where I had, where I totally didn't read anymore and I was just tuning into my senses and tuning into what was happening in the consciousness, in my heart, in the body and my surroundings. And that's where the wildlife helped me so much. The wildlife taught me a lot, particularly scary situations. They really, you know, when you're confronted by a poisonous snake or a poison or a dangerous animal or even a centipede, you know, centipedes are freaky things when you see them, you know. They're very, very agile, and they, one bite of them can hurt like so much. But that's the thing. It took me out of, you could say, in the intellectual process of trying to analyze the world into an experience, into an experiencing kind of situation where, instead of trying to deduct things through books, I started to just learn things from direct experience. And believe it or not, you know, maybe for some people, but for me, that was something huge, because I realized I'd been studying reality for a long time.
Instead of just experiencing it directly.
You know, and that's what can happen in the university world if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's why they call, like, academicians who live in the ivory tower, right?
Right.
Up there and you're apart from everything.
Well, I know what that means now.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that before, but now I kind of understand what that means.
Gotcha.
But you couldn't convince me of that before, though.
Right. It was only through the experience that you understood.
Right.
So we got a question from the Facebook live stream from Brigitte.
Oh, gosh.
She says, hi, Sam and Bhante. Yeah. But office settings are so competitive now. Are we really safe there or anywhere? I am talking about our reptilian brain. And yes, sitting has helped me personally a lot. But as a parenthesis spiritual yogini, I also need movement to help me with the sitting.
So what's the question?
Are we really safe there or anywhere?
No, we're not safe at all anywhere.
Or we're always safe.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those chicken and egg questions. You took me out of context, Birgit, as usual. look, what I'm saying is when you're in an office, it's very different from sitting in a jungle.
Yeah.
It's very different. But yeah, the danger of life always exists. Yeah. Absolutely. And I did say, you know, a thief might walk into the office, and which has happened, and all these kind of things. Yeah. But it's not like sitting in a jungle. Right. It's not the same. You can't compare the two. So
right.
You know, it's a different kind of situation completely, right? Here, I've lived in an office, so you can get complacent very easily. It's hard to get complacent in the jungle or in the forest. Very difficult, you know, especially when a wasp starts, you know, hovering around you, or a few of them, and that can happen 3 or 4 times a day. You know, all these things can happen in a forest consistently over 24 hours. But in an office, once you're in there, you've locked the doors, you can virtually go to sleep for 10 hours and not really worry.
Right.
Really?
Ta says on the Facebook live stream, safety is an illusion.
Pretty much.
Oh.
Pretty much. Because also the body itself, when you study the body is a very fickle thing, and it can crumble very quickly. Life can go very fast. You know, we're living at that's another thing I realize. We're going at light speed. It just doesn't seem that way, but the body's decaying really, really quickly. Mm. And the biggest danger is that the answer of, like, when you will die, nobody knows the answer to that.
Right.
And see, that's that makes it a slippery slope, because you don't know what the next moment is going to bring, and it might realistically bring your
demise.
Your demise, right?
Right.
So how you're living now is very important in being awake. Right. You know, are you being fully awake? Are you waking up and seeing things as they are or not? These kind of things, yes, it's true. But look, Birgit, go to the jungle and try it.
Ta says the jungle is a serious place, and he knows because he's been down to the jungle in South America, which is a little different than
Southeast Asia. Well, no, jungle's a jungle.
Jungle's a jungle.
Yeah.
But, well, let me ask you, has any of your experiences over the last 6.5 years taught you to trust life more? I mean, there may not be safety, but is there trust?
Trust. Look. The refuge, if you want safety, if you want refuge, it's within you. There is safety, actually. There is. But it's not out there. It's in your heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? And if you have touched your own true nature and you can see the Dharma inside yourself, inside your heart, that's the most secure thing there is. There's nothing more secure. And that gives you a very strong sense of humanity, in fact. And trusting is a matter of understanding, you know. I've always said it this way. I trust a thief, but I trust he's going to be a thief, you know. So I'm not, right. You know, so then you've got trust, and then there's stupidity, right? So if I know there's a tiger there, I'm not going to be stupid.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm going to trust that the tiger's going to do what a tiger's going to do.
Right.
So again, seeing things as they are.
Well, in a more general sense, though, do you trust life? Like, do you trust life that, like, the path you're walking on is the path you're supposed to be walking?
That one is a daily reflection. Mm. It's a good question. Very good question.
Yeah, I'm getting better at asking.
Yeah, you are. Question. Damn. Now I'm going to have to go meditate for another 3 years and come back.
Well, you thought this was going to be easy? Come on.
Well, it took me three years to answer these ones. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. I think the path is a daily balancing act. It's not, I used to think it's this long term, no, but it's daily, because every day there's a challenge, every minute there's a challenge, and you're constantly thrown into trying to find that middle way between extremes, and trying to find, you know, the right way for yourself. And that's what it's about. It's about your path.
Right. And the right way for yourself is different for everybody.
Exactly.
So in this case, for you to become a monk was the right path for you.
Right.
It's not necessarily the right path for me,
yes,
for
it is.
Patrick. Or
yes,
for,
it is. It's it the is. Right path for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm
you
not
come
so
to Thailand
sure
with me next week.
Jungles. And
I've
stuff.
Already decided for you.
Brigitte says, I will probably not go to the jungle, Bhante. I am afraid of snakes. I understand that what you are saying, but I am talking about the workings of our mind.
Oh, geez, Birgit. Not now.
Brigitte, there are jungles much closer, and if you want to deal with your fear of snakes, I can help you with that very easily.
Right, exactly. No, look, yes, not everybody can be a monk, and in Buddha's day, there are a lot of lay people. Listen, monks can't exist without lay people.
That's right, because especially with your practice, is you only eat what people give you.
That's right.
So if there aren't people to give you food,
you're screwed. It's over.
You can't survive.
That's right. You know, right. So see, people think, you know, I don't know, people get like a kind of guilty thing. Oh, do I need to become a monk? No, monks aren't saying that. What we're saying is that sometimes you have to get, people have a problem with discipline and strictness and rules, and you know, they get these connotations or these general. But from our perspective, it's not. These rules give you freedom. Structure can give you freedom, and you need to see the positive side of structure, not the negative side. There is a positive side to structure and discipline,
sure,
and it can lead to many, many good things, and that's what we're talking about. Right. And sometimes you've got to shut the door on yourself. Like even for work, isn't there days where you're so darn busy, if you don't shut the doors, turn off the phones, you don't get any work done, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, that's more common now than it used to
right.
be, too.
So, I mean, it exists for you in that realm, and it exists for me as well, but it's for you, it's what is for you is for you, what is for me,
right?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Right, but that comes also down, we have to learn to trust ourselves that the choices we make are right for us. Because, like,
well, yeah,
you,
well, be prepared to make mistakes.
That the choice that, huh?
Be prepared to make mistakes,
right,
and that's okay.
But are they really mistakes? Because you learn from them and then you make different choices, but you wouldn't have made those different choices if you hadn't made the mistake first.
Sure. Sure, but that's the whole purpose of life, isn't it?
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to go to commercial break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been getting lots of thumbs up, hearts, faces, all kinds of love from our Facebook live stream. Thank you, Ta, Brigitte, Kafunya, all of our watchers and listeners online. It looks like we got a pretty decent board back there. You know, we even have people from the Philippines. What other countries we got? Rob, engineer, what countries we got?
Yeah, so we got Italy.
Buongiorno.
And a bunch of people in the States. Thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Got another question for you, Giorgio. You prepared?
Yeah, go ahead. That's why I'm here, right? It'll be another 3 years.
What's the most important thing you've learned in the last 6.5 years?
Jeez, I hate these questions. Gosh. I've learned that I'm not as powerful as I think, but I'm more powerful than I think.
Ah, that sounds like a little bit of a paradox.
Yeah, it is. Because I think life is duality. Everything, it's kind of like sun and moon. My first teacher always used to have a saying, it's necessary and it's unnecessary. You know, it's necessary and it's unnecessary. It's necessary to clean your room, but it's unnecessary to clean your room. It's necessary to make your bed, but it's unnecessary to make your bed. Do you know what I mean? It's kind
of lots of people who don't clean their room or make their bed.
You know, it's necessary to wash the dishes after you eat. It's not necessary to wash the dishes after you eat. You know, whatever. Everything has an appropriate time for appropriate things. But yeah, basically, that's pretty much what I've learned. I'm more powerful than I think, but I'm not as powerful as I think. Because I'm talking not about the person, Georgie, I'm talking about the human being, you know.
Okay.
I'm talking about the human being.
Right.
The human being is a very powerful thing. It's a very, we are very capable of doing many, many things. I mean, there's no way I could have thought I would do the things that I did in the last few years. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, particularly the ability to sit in long periods of time and the things that occur during those sitting periods, you know, they take you into an in-depth place of humanness that you never thought was possible. Things can only be experienced, you know, they can't be talked about. Otherwise, it may sound like I'm showing off. And the worst thing is I might ruin your unique experience. And this is what I learned from reading books. That is the mistake. Reading books, there's sometimes you need to read a book and sometimes you don't need to read a book, right?
Right.
Now, in the times where you don't need to read the book is learning to measure experience that you're having. Like, for example, you know, you jump in the water and you experience getting wet, but then you read the book and the book tells you, no, this is what being wet feels like. So then you make a comparison to the book and you think you're having a wrong experience, but you're getting wet, right? So that can be troublesome when you read books.
Because when you're reading a book, you're reading someone else's experience.
Well, yeah, it's all subjective analysis. Right. Every book but is. It's a subjective it, it's analysis experience. Of someone's experience, right?
Right.
So that's what I found with books because I was, you know, I'm an avid book lover. I'm a book nerd, geek, whatever you want to call it. I love them. I love studying. But then there's the positive side of books because some you got to get your information somewhere. So putting that into perspective. But experience is something that when you meditate and when you're on this path to yourself, you need help. Sometimes you need a guide to help you through troubled times. But generally, your experience is unique and you shouldn't compare it to others.
Right. So you just mentioned troubled times, which brings me to my next question, which is, what's been the hardest part of doing what you've done over the last 6.5 years?
The weakness of the body.
Ah,
the body being weak. Well, because what does that mean? See, when you're able to concentrate for long periods of time and sit for long periods of time, the mind gets quite powerful, quite strong. But the body can't keep up. You know, the body needs to rest. The body needs to eat.
Right.
The body needs to defecate, to urinate. It needs a lot of maintenance.
Sure.
And it can't keep up when the mind gets activated in a lot of times. And that's why they say you got to stay in your body. It's called, and what the monks say, the danger of someone leaving their body, which can happen. And that's a balance that I had to learn because I would thrash my body, like have no respect for the body at all during times. And my teacher was like, when I fasted for 20 days, I actually aimed for 50 days.
Ooh.
And after the 20th day, my teacher called me and I had to go see him. And he's like, you're eating tomorrow. That's it. No more. You're going to die. I'm like, no, I can do it. I'm focused. And like, I'm like a skeleton, you know. Jeez. But my mind just didn't have any fear. That's the thing. I didn't have any fear of death or anything. And I just wanted to do it. But they insisted that I didn't do it. So
we've talked about body, we've talked about mind, we've touched upon heart a little bit in the past. Mm. What about spirit? I mean, with all this deep meditation,
I don't go to spirit. I don't do spirit talk.
Because
I tell you what, when you can focus, when your meditative practice has developed well, and you see nature, and you see your own nature. There's no words for it. You can't say it's spirit. You can't say it's soul. You can't say it's heart. You can't say it's this or that. Actually, you can't say what it is. That's why a lot of sages avoid these topics. Because experience cannot be translated. So profound experience cannot be translated even more so. And the danger of trying to explain these kind of profound experience is that I might ruin yours. I might, because you might cling to it as an experience or as a guide, and you might forget about your own experience, your unique experience.
Right.
There's some things, you know, like if I say to you, Sam, and you've never climbed Mount Everest, and I try to explain the peak to you, and I try to explain the whole travel.
It's going to pale in comparison,
right? But I go through every detail with you, and then one day you decide to climb the mountain. You've got this reference,
right?
So and which might be good or might be bad, you know.
You can always share your own experience.
You can, but you can't because these kind of things cannot be translated. Is what I'm saying. You cannot translate experience. It just cannot be translated. You can give someone an idea, but again, are you giving them the right idea? That's the danger, right? Are you telling them the truth? How do you tell the truth in words?
Right. Just a quick thing. Welcome Brian and Stephen who are watching on the Facebook live stream. Ta says, train, feed, and oxygenate the body to keep up. Stephen says, great interview.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, this is where the balance comes in, right? I mean, it's don't we, or...
Sometimes there's balance and sometimes there's not. That's sometimes true. It's full on thrash. Look at your own life.
Yes.
Look what you go through every day. Sometimes you work
well,
a
balance
lot.
In all things, including balance, which means that sometimes you're out of balance.
Well, yeah. But balance to me is like a what you would call a new age, you know, kind of buzzword. And me being a Chinese medicine practitioner and knowing well about balance.
Yeah, what about homeostasis?
I've got like a pet peeve against the word balance. What I tell my students in the past is harmony. Because balance is you know, it's very logical, and it's a bit, you know, it follows a kind of look.
Okay, but
things just happen.
Let's talk about harmony then.
Yeah, things just happen in life, and you have to deal with them.
Right.
So where are we talking about balance?
So it's never been balanced.
No, I don't believe there is at all. At all, I don't believe balance. I think balance should be left in the balance beam, you know, in gymnastics,
so you
know.
Balance, but still achieve harmony.
I think harmony, because when life hits you, you've got to dance with it, right? Okay, and you've got to do whatever is needed, right? So where's balance come into the equation? It just doesn't. You've got to do what's needed.
All right, so harmony, balance, life. Have you ever regretted making the decision you made to become a monk?
Yes. Many times.
Many times.
Yeah.
What gets you past those
times? It's when I can't eat ice cream whenever I want.
It's
true.
When you can't eat
it's
after
true.
12 noon.
It's when I can't have pizza when I want it.
So what gets you past it? What keeps
well,
you
know, these are fleeting things, but no, look, I was blessed. I've had a blessed life. I've worked hard all my life before becoming a monk. I've earned every single cent. I've worked hard. I worked 7 days a week for 10 years. I used to work 7 days a week. I used to work 12, 14 hours a day. I've worked hard. I've been married twice. I've had a good bachelor life. I've had a good married life. I've got children. I've achieved a lot in my own way. It's satisfied myself in many, many ways in life, and I've lived a full life. So coming to the monkhood, I felt, was just the next step for me to grow even more.
Right.
So for me personally, no. Right?
Right.
I actually feel even more fulfilled now, you know, even more so, because I'm actually a lot freer and living life how I want to live it, and not hurting anybody and not hurting myself anymore. Like I used to.
Right. So even though you live with a lot of quote-unquote restrictions, you're actually much freer than you've ever been before.
Discipline leads to freedom, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Good discipline. Yeah. The right discipline leads to good things.
Okay. Last question before we end the show. Do you ever think about the future, or do you just stay present?
Of course I do, but I have to check myself every time. Yeah. Yeah, the mind always wants to go there. It always wants to go there. So it's a matter of checking it and pulling it back, or, you know, and staying in the present. Yeah, again, that's a thing. That's a daily practice, the daily path.
Daily path of staying present.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
you're
Bhante.
Welcome. Thanks, Birgit.
Thank you, Birgit. Thank you, Stephen, Ta, everybody who's commented on the Facebook live stream. Do you have a website or anything that you want people to know about?
I'm not advertising, but we do have a charity, lokanata.com, lokanata.com.
Right.
And you can keep up to date. I write articles there sometimes when I feel like it, and when I'm in town, but that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Bhante. I appreciate you taking the time out of today.
Thanks. I'll see you in three more years.
Yeah, hopefully not that much. And just one last thing before we end the show, just a quick reminder for anyone who wants to come out to the Conscious Business Collective. We still have a few seats for tonight's meeting, 7 p.m. tonight, an office on 26th and Broadway. You can RSVP, get all the details at our meetup group, which is meetup.com/conscious-biz-collective. Or just go to meetup.com and just search Conscious Business Collective. RSVP, join the group. We'll let you know when future meetings are. And if you can come tonight, join us. We're about being like-minded people, supporting each other, taking a different tack towards prosperity and success. So thank you all for joining us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow starting 11 a.m. for our Friday shows, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun.
For you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.